All right, welcome back to the podcast. It's your girl Afnan.
And I'm Farah.
And we are Rooted Black Girls, representing everyday black millennial women of multiple faiths, cultures, and communication styles. Ooh, listen,
we here. Afnan, really, like, when we're talking about communication, I find that when I'm on the mic, I, like, want to get in really close.
Let's talk about it.
Hello, everybody.
Bring it in.
Hello, bring it in.
I love it.
Yeah, campfire. Like, a little something. But I just really enjoy the mic.
Can we do a little thing? Let's do a little tiny desk.
Oh,
a little tiny desk. You know what? We've been like both. I've been watching us like walking around set. Like should I? Shouldn't I? Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? You should just bust a note for us real quick.
No.
What? Come on.
What are you going to say?
You know, I've been on my summer walker for the last couple of days.
See, I don't have that memorized.
Really? Like, okay. What do you have memorized?
Like, you know, Jackson 5.
Oh, see, I don't have no Jackson 5, but Chorus.
What about Destiny's Child?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Say my name. But I don't look at
moving like, on communications key.
Oh no, we're supposed to do this.
No, not for these people.
No,
I'm not. What did Lauryn Hill say in this new Nas Nobody feature?
I don't know.
She said, I'm not here to be a parody.
Huh? Oh my god.
I'm not here to be a parody.
We can hold some notes, okay? Maybe not Beyonce, but we can hold some notes.
Maybe. So if this podcast thing doesn't work out, we can start a band.
Background dancers,
yeah.
Like shit. Or
non-dancers.
Singers. Singers. Yeah. Background singers. Yeah. You know,
I can hold like a quick two-step.
I
think it's because of Delta.
Absolutely.
I wasn't on the step team, but I was on
the
soul
team. Were you up till 2 in the morning?
Always, yeah. Telling them what to do. I'm like, that doesn't look good. Fix it. And I couldn't tell them what to fix because I wasn't a stepper.
Oh, you're so
But
right.
I was it on the stroll
wrong.
Team.
You could tell them it looked wrong, though.
Yes. And I feel like that. Like, I have the skill to be a change agent. I have an eye. And we did really well because of the group effort.
I don't think we've ever lost a step show.
Never. Yeah. Our line never.
Absolutely.
Ever. 08.
Don't
like,
disgrace us.
Don't. DD29, the divine design. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, my God. Love it. I love it. Okay. So since we won't sing on this episode, but seriously, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, drop some comments below.
Yeah.
Let us know if we should force Farah or myself to sing and subject ourselves to this embarrassment. I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah,
like, tiny so desk funny. Who, bro?
Yeah, we got you.
We look at our mics at this point, right? We're not gonna upgrade.
Oh, what
to
about Jasmine Sullivan? Are you familiar with the new album?
No, not at all. Except, she's not. She's playing. Okay, cool. So communication is key, y'all. We've talked so much about therapy and. A lot of my friends come to me for like questions on like how would you handle the situation and stuff like that, and I love it.
Yeah.
But then like people would be like, "Afnan is my therapist," and I cringe.
I do. I consider you one of my many therapists.
Well, thank you. But stop.
I didn't know that I was. You know, and we do think that it's important for you to have a licensed professional and have real medical opinions
Absolutely.
Around these things, right? So if. So this here is just like we all have a friend that's like a therapist,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Some similes here. So we want to be very clear
very
that
clear.
Afnan is not a licensed professional.
At all.
Yeah. Okay. But you're actually quite talented.
Aww.
You remind me of, so one of my friends, she is a therapist, but when I talk to her, she uses a friend therapist. We call it like frenipist, you know?
I love it, yes.
And she was like, I would never talk to any of my clients like this, but I do, I know your life so well that I can kind
she
of
can have that
a
conversation.
Life coach slash conversation.
She can go she a can little bit it. Further because she knows you personally.
Yes, and she can tell me what to do. You do a really good job. You're kind of life coachy. How do you feel about that?
Life coach. I love that. Low key.
It does. It fits into like who Afnan is to me.
Who Afnan is. I think we talked about in the last episode where like I really love to help my friends elevate to
that.
Their best capacity.
Yeah.
And I've definitely evolved my tactics to like that to fit the definition that they have for themselves.
Uh-huh.
So I love the idea of that. I think that for me though, I don't want to come off as like, oh, I have it all figured out because I make mistakes all the time.
Yeah. And I think you actually do it really well. I find that you only give me advice when I'm like, you can tell that I'm open or if I'm asking for it explicitly.
Thank you.
That's not unsolicited.
Girl, that wasn't always the case. I would be telling
You'd
people,
be unsolicited
listen,
opinions.
Let me tell you.
You need to know this.
And it took me like cringing when people did it to me over and over again. And then I was like, oh, everything that I don't like about other people, it's because I do it. So let me back the hell
Always
up.
The case.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get a little deeper here.
Okay.
And for every question that I ask you, I'll answer it myself.
Yeah.
So what was your reason? And of course, you know, give us what you want to tell us, right? You don't have to be super disclosy here. But
we got a safe space. This is family, right? We can talk.
Yeah. So for what was the reason that you decided to go to therapy?
Oh, quite frankly, like, my mom's crazy ass. Yeah. I love my mom. We've worked through so many issues, and we're so much better now.
Yeah.
But, like, I knew I would be my mom if I didn't go talk to someone who wasn't her.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling when I was transitioning, we talked in a previous episode about, like, who you are as a person and evolving, and sometimes the people around you not making space for that are not understanding because they feel like they know you, especially, like, a parent.
Yeah.
Like, girl, I wiped your ass since you were born. Like, yeah. I know you literally in and out.
Exactly.
And there's a beautiful place for that in your life, but there also has to be space for you to grow. And I remember feeling like, gosh, I don't want to do this to my kids. I don't want to make my kids feel like I'm not listening. That's really what it was. My mom has always loved me unconditionally.
Definitely.
She's always been my number one supporter and cheerleader. She's only ever wanted the best for me.
Always.
But sometimes it felt like the tough love was heavier on the tough and, you know what I mean, in terms of how I interpreted it.
Yes.
But, like, my mom would die for me. No questions asked, right?
Yeah.
I am my mom's wildest dreams, my ancestors' wildest dreams. Alhamdulillah, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I remember it being so painful to be heard and to feel like I was being heard. Like, did my mom, like, be quiet to hear the words I was saying? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we attempt that many times? Of course, without a shadow of a doubt.
But with understanding.
But I didn't feel understood. Yeah. I felt misunderstood. And I remember feeling like there was something inherently wrong with me.
Yeah.
So me going to therapy was, like, one, like, you know, especially, and then as you progress in, like, the professional career, like, when I was an RA, part of our training was like, oh, like, there's therapy and this is how you have to do it. And and then making us go to a session so we could comfortably refer others was part of our training.
Exactly.
Right. Which I thought was great. And I was like, you know, the first day on the couch, I'm like, I don't really need to be here. I'm perfectly fine. Like, I'm an RA. I'm doing great in school. I work. I could take care of myself. I've got this, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, but how about your childhood? And then next thing you know, you're like, and then they took the toy from me, and now I have a problem
Get
sharing.
Into this, like, super reactive space. Yeah.
Right? And so that was kind of, like, the catalyst of, like, me trying to go and change and better myself, right? A combination of those things. And then through different points in my life where I really was at an impasse with a person or myself going through transition, I realized, like, I have to continue to work on me.
Yes.
The work doesn't stop because I've understood this part of my past and that I'm constantly growing. And then I would have to expand my capacity to really accept love at the level that I really wanted for my life.
Isn't, I love how you turned inward about not saying someone didn't have the capacity to love you, but how you, did you have the capacity to receive the love that you wanted?
Ooh. It's a love it's that you turned inward.
Yeah. Because you think, like, this person doesn't love me, you know? And it's not that. It's about, like, our capacity to receive love.
Yes.
And are we looking for it in the right spaces and the right people?
Absolutely.
Right? And bringing, for the people that, like, your family members that are concrete members of your existence,
you
think, like, how do I bring them along in this journey?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Girl, I would come back like, I understand. I understand what, and, you know, once I understood my pain points, like, because they say the fastest way to get over anger is to ask yourself how you contributed. What is my role in this? The human psyche is very interesting. The fact that the minute we start looking at how we're to blame, it's okay. Like, oh, the event didn't start at 5 o'clock like I expected because my friends, oh, well, I should have told them. Da, da, da. And then it's like, oh, well, we're not going to make this a big deal anymore for self-preservation, right?
Yes.
And so once I started doing that for myself and realizing my own failures and how I contributed to these situations, it allowed me to have real empathy that and look for where other people may not understand where they needed more love.
Yeah.
And then it allowed me to have, like, a greater capacity to love people in the gap, like, to stand in the gap.
For sure.
Right? Very hard. I'm saying that now as somebody who's, like, tried and it continues to try. I'm challenged in new ways every day.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, doing that as an individual living in my mom's house was very different than moving out and doing that with roommates was very difficult than doing that different than doing that with coworkers at work, you know, and very different than doing that when you're married. And I imagine is going to continue to be different when, you know, I have children and inshallah when we have kids. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just continuing to work on it. And I think it was also it confirmed for me I was doing the right thing when other people that I found myself really admiring started normalizing this idea of going to therapy. We talk about, like, Will Smith is, like, so much motivation, wisdom, poster child. And he, like, very adamantly and openly shares that he's probably done 10,000 hours of therapy.
Yeah.
Right? Which
so
is
you become this,
insane.
Like, doctorate level of, like, introspective work.
Yes. Right. Wow. And yeah. he talks about how key that was to being a better husband and a better father. I think a lot of people admire him for his work ethic, but equally like how he shows up for his kids.
Yeah. And he talked about how he was a terror to his family initially until he was able to look in the mirror. Yeah. That's fascinating. Yeah. So for me, it's very interesting. So Allah Yarhamo, my father passed away when I was 18 and I wanted to pledge, you know, Delta, and Delta requires a letter, right? You have to get like recommendation letters.
Yeah.
So as I'm trying to build relationships to get a recommendation letter, I go to one of the nurses. She's a Delta on campus that I was familiar with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm talking to her, kind of telling her like, I want to be a member of your organization. Yes, right.
Yes, the excitement, the shiny eyes.
And then
eyes,
she was like, well, tell me about yourself. Right. Yeah. And this was our first meeting, and she tells me, and at that point I hadn't had like any large emotional kind of experiences about my father's passing. It was something that had been coming, right? He was sick, and so we were fully prepared, right, for it. And so I felt, you know, very solid. And Islamically, you have like 3 days, and then it's like, stop it. You know, you're tormenting the dead, Allah Yarhamo, right? So I took that very seriously and didn't really look inwards about that experience and what that loss meant to me. And so I go to her, and she asked me something, and I remember talking about my dad. I'm like, you know, like wailing.
Yes.
Like wailing. I hadn't cried like that ever.
A release.
Yeah. And then she was like, I think you should go to therapy, you know? So interesting. It was great. So then I went and I spoke to another SOAR, right? Another member of Delta.
Shout out to the Deltas all along the way. Shout out to the Deltas.
And she was like a little more kind of like psychobehavioral work on campus. And she was like, yeah, I don't think you need me, right? Mm-hmm. She was like, I think you're doing well. You're well adjusted. So she actually in the early 2000s thought I was cool. So I never went to therapy after that.
You're like, I'm good.
She said I was good. She put a Band-Aid on me. I was like, okay. You know? Cool. So I built those relationships, moving on.
Alhamdulillah.
But then I had a really bad like relationship breakup. And the way that I reacted to the breakup was well beyond anything I had ever done before.
Okay.
And so I realized, I was like, yo, this felt very reactive and disproportionate to what was going on. What is this feeling? It felt out of character. So I felt like a sense of abandonment, and I had to look to where did I have these early kind of experiences to allow me to be as reactive as I was in the moment. I did
really
not know that.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I was like, what happened to me really? Yeah. I didn't know that it was like a reactive kind of lower brain, kind of my brain just firing off and feeling abandoned like I was as a little kid, you know? Granted, my parents did a phenomenal job, just certain life experiences that occurred that made me, you know, that have, that allowed me to have core values that I didn't know that I was living out every day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So in an effort to be like, why do I feel this? What is this? Where did this come from?
Absolutely.
I've never reacted like this before. You know, I went to a therapist, and it's been heaven since.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I've been looking inwards. I've have better relationships with even family members, siblings, friends because of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I can allow grace for them because I've been more graceful to myself.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of the start of my own therapy journey.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And how about now? Like, do you still find it just as valuable as then? I think some people think like, I know I thought, for example, like, oh, I worked through this issue that I can identify in this moment, and then I'm good until I'm back on the couch. I'm like, there's more.
So my therapist, I don't have a good recollection of memories. So I don't really, I'm not the biggest, like my friends will be like, well, we did this and that. And I'm like, what? You know, like I don't remember that. But so when I was in therapy, she was like, okay. So I told her, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work really. Cause I don't have the best memories, you know, I don't really remember much. And so she started kind of like some types of an exercise with me that allowed me to like just like diary of the mouth that I didn't even know I had experienced and connect dots that I didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's more of like, she's kind of the work that she does. I'm thinking I need more of a life coach moving forward or just like a, as you say, like a black auntie to get kind of riled, shake you up a little bit.
Black aunties will get you together.
I need a black auntie. I think that's what I need. She's like very calm natured. She allows me to come to my own inferences, and that's what I needed initially.
That's awesome.
Because I don't think I would have been able to take instruction from someone about your own life. life. Yeah. I needed to kind of derive my own answers.
Yeah.
And she really allowed that. So that's now I'm beautiful. Thinking like, okay, I'm learning a lot, but I'm thinking maybe I've outgrown this space because she's allowed me to grow.
The gentle,
the gentle nudge, kind of the work that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of seeing it, but I'm seeing it kind of simmer a little bit, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe I need to make another adjustment.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people think like, oh, you find a therapist and then you just stay with them forever.
Yeah.
But it's all about like finding someone who's like communication style matches with you. And I think that was like the biggest takeaway for me was therapy wasn't just understanding, but it was putting language, really needed language to be able to explain how I felt and how I interacted with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as I acquired that language and I got better at communicating what I need, what my triggers were, and understanding how to hold space for people, the people around me were able to then, emulate that.
Yes.
And even if I set boundaries like, hey, I would like for us to discuss this way, and I'd like us to avoid this language because it makes me feel bad. People are really quick once you start setting boundaries. See, like, oh, well, we can't do this either. And I'm like, okay, yes, great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it, right?
Exactly.
And now we're on equal playing field and everybody feels like, okay, the rules of the game have been established and I feel safe to actually engage with you.
So get this. I've always been impressed with even your prompts or how you will like notice an issue, give meaning to it, right? Ooh. And respect to it, but then to state your own need.
I do that. That's
awesome. Do it very, very well. Wait, you know, I'll be like, so how should I say this?
Yeah, give me an
example. And I'd be like, and I'd be writing in my notes section.
When you ask me like, okay, what do I say?
What should I say about a situation, right? So I've had a whole bunch of scenarios that will pop up and I feel like you're super communicative about it, and you do it very well, mashallah.
Thank you.
And you are, even though you're respecting yourself and respecting your boundary, because I do feel like boundaries are for you. You know, they're not for other people.
They're not. They're
so when you say, oh, my boyfriend, oh, just keep stepping on my boundaries. Nah, bro. Like, that's not his problem, right?
You have to establish
them. You have to establish this, maintain them, and then express when they're stepped over and transgressed, you know? And then what are the consequences, right, for that action?
Yeah.
And so you do that exceptionally well, mashallah, that I've noticed. And so I always come to you. And so does your black auntie therapist give you those communication skills? Like, where did you get them from?
That is such
or is that just you?
I think I naturally am like a really deep thinker and a problem solver, and I like to find the patterns in things so you I can learn it and move really quickly.
She didn't tell you how to like find the problem, how to create these prompts and talk.
Not
so it's
necessarily.
You.
I think
see, you are my therapist. Okay, I know that you have a skill set that I ain't got.
I appreciate that. I think even in my work, I love to find an example that works and then deconstruct it to make it duplicable, like duplicatable, whatever that word is.
Duplicate
it over and over and over again, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, like a recent situation, I'll tell you an example. A recent situation is I didn't realize I still have trouble setting boundaries in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm out mixing with people, it's very easy because I can state my boundary and then I can leave.
Yeah.
But with really close family members in my space, it's tricky. One, because I don't have a lot of practice doing it. I've lived away for quite a few years. I was in Atlanta for 5 years before. Then I was in Richmond. And I haven't been out of my mom's house my parents' house for quite many years until I recently moved back in with COVID. However, I didn't have a lot of practice establishing no because I was really fearful of the ramifications of if I would say no to something. And I didn't notice that until I was having a conversation with my brother and my sister-in-law, who I love having like these super deep conversations with as an adult, because he's just a year younger than me.
Yeah.
So I'm able to get like very interesting vantage points of my childhood as I'm growing as an adult and kind of bridging the gap. And it's so restorative for me and transformative in my understanding of how I came to be myself, even at every age. We'll tell the same story and he'll give me his perspective and my perspective as we have additional language and content.
Come on, we'll now, that might be my favorite skill of like going through life experiences.
Isn't
and then
awesome?
Like learning kind of from that life experience as I gain
it with new eyes,
knowledge, new lenses, new experiences.
Absolutely.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah. And I literally feel like a healing from it when I get a chance to do it. So it's awesome. And so I think in the last conversation we were talking and I was like, oh, you know, but so-and-so is going to come to my house and I feel really like, ugh, about it. And then my sister-in-law called me on it. She's like, oh, what's that? And I was like, what's what?
Yeah.
she's like, you're having difficult. She's like, why don't you, why don't, like, why can't you just tell them no? And I was like, Ooh. Yeah. And then like when someone says that and I don't know the answer immediately, I'm like, okay, cool. What is the tension? What's yeah. the problem? And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm literally saying this out loud in front of them, right? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't feel like I can say no. And then I'll ask myself the question, why not?
This is this exact exercise you put me through the other day. But go ahead, keep going. This yeah. is magic, y'all. Get your like notebooks, note sections. I'm a post-it girl. You're a notes girl.
I love post-its.
Yeah,
though. I
have you do. All the colors, you all write the everything sizes. In your notes. Where I have post-its like lying around everywhere.
I have notes when I'm moving, and I'm usually with you when I'm mobile. Oh, but then okay. like post-it notes are post-its everywhere. Post-its are yes, everywhere. Notebooks, all of that.
Over my kitchen table.
No,
right
I love
now.
It. Like on my Mary
okay.
Jane
so keep stuff. Going.
Oh yes. Okay. So she's like. So I was like, ooh, why can I say no? I have the language to say no. Why does it feel icky? And so she, I couldn't come to the answer. Actually, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. I'm afraid something bad's going to happen, but I couldn't articulate it past that. And so as she, somebody who is really great at holding her boundaries and doing mm-hmm. it in a loving and a respectful way, yeah. she's also very, very generous. Uh-huh. So I was like, well, how would you handle that situation? And then she gave her spiel. She's like, well, I would do it this way. She was like, I would tell them like, yes, I want to do this, but however, this is a compromise. And yeah. I sat and I was like, why does that work? Why does that
Why
work?
Does that
Why
work?
Does that work? And then I realized she's stating the two opposing beliefs.
Yeah.
So then I was able to sit and think about that and say that out loud
to them.
The ones
that you have for yourself.
The ones that I have for myself. So for example, right? If I feel weird about telling someone uh-huh. a rule that we have in our house that makes me comfortable, like, yeah. hey, can you, I don't want your shoes in the house, right?
Yeah.
Then the you have to identify what the tension is. The tension is I want people to be, and this is just for me in this situation. Yeah. This may not be for everybody, but what I realize what works for me is the tension is between these two thoughts. Yeah. One, I want my guests to feel comfortable and to mm-hmm. be able to come to my house and enjoy themselves.
For sure.
But two, I want to create a boundary that people can still feel that way
yeah.
while also not treading with their shoes from the public
yeah.
bathrooms. Because
yeah.
that's kind of, for me, that's a no-no in our house, yeah. right? And so then I was like, okay, well, is there space for those two things to coexist? Can people still
enjoy.
Have a good time yeah. and feel comfortable and also know the boundary? And I was like,
come on.
Oh, absolutely. It's
this
all
is
in my
problem.
Delivery.
This is A plus B equals C for me. It's
super
very simple.
Simple. But
it's very
so
simple,
hard
but
it's, to do
it's
if
hard
you're not
to do,
thinking through it.
Especially when you're emotionally invested
yes,
in what's
it.
Going on.
That's
you're
it.
Just like, well, they just keep doing this,
yeah.
you know? And it's... And I think, remember we had an episode about no period? I had like an
yes,
experience.
And both of us were
horrified
kind of struck by like, oh
but
my God.
But that's it. Like if you have loving relationships with people, it's not about no period. It's about identifying the pain point, right?
Yeah.
And then saying, and I'm just reverse engineering what you're telling me, right?
Yeah.
So you identify the pain point, understand that and articulate it and say, but however, like this is the compromise that I can do for you.
And then you give space for them to
give
counter.
Give space and to counter. Okay, great.
Because maybe
it's not a no period when you love right. people, right?
And I'm so glad because we were talking about like in preparation for the episode, we're like, we were still trying to, for weeks after that.
We didn't understand.
We couldn't understand.
Both of us were like, you better not tell me no.
Right. We were trying to figure out why do we, both of us equally with very, very, with a lot of emotion, feel so backhanded when
we don't
someone
do
says
it.
No period.
Because we don't do it. We don't
right.
say no period.
And the thing is, we couldn't figure out exactly why. And we kept coming back to the resolve of like, it's just rude. It's just rude. It's
just
not
rude.
Loving. It's
but
not
what
loving.
Is it?
It's not loving.
And I think it's about the giving. Like we're over givers to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? And we want people to feel comfortable and good
yeah.
in spaces. And
we expect that in return.
Yeah,
and when people don't do that, it's like, ooh.
Are you articulating that you have that expectation to other people? Because I don't do it well.
Ooh.
And I probably give little
I'm much more open about being like, I think we talked about that in the last episode. I'm much more open about, I want very vulnerably safe
yeah.
relationships
yeah.
where I can say like, I miss you. Like I want for us to hang out more often and I can
yeah.
verbalize that while feeling safe. And the initial response I'm going to get from that person is like, oh, that's important to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see how we can make
exactly.
that happen. Right?
Exactly. I think my point is in being an overgiver, like now I'll do this, like I'll survey before I'm about to do too much and say, am I expecting something in return?
Ooh, that's so powerful.
Right?
I've had to gut check myself a
yeah,
couple of times.
Yeah, so I keep gut checking. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? And if I feel like I still want to check in when it's not warranted or I still want to give something when it's not equal to the relationship that I want, I want to make sure it's coming from a good place and
yes.
that I'm not expecting something back.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
once
yeah.
I do those checks, and I'm okay, I'm like, okay, you you're good to go. Do too much right now, right? Because
you can love when you know it's coming from the right place and from a full cup.
Yeah, but what would be a tragedy for yourself is to be giving in hopes that someone will return it back to you. Yeah. Because no one has to do that, right? Yeah,
and not only
that. You just
hope
that you've picked, and we had that episode about misalignment of values. Yep. You just hope that if your value is in giving and caring, you want someone to equally show that to you. You have connected that to your value set and have chosen people that respect that and do it equally to you.
Yeah, because I think even if you do that with the expectation of getting something, then it poisons your good intent, because then you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that for them. Yeah. Oh my God.
Versus what do they say? The road to hell is paved with good intention. And I think that's it.
Girl.
It's the idea of like, I want to do this for them. But then when they don't return it, you're like, well, oh my God, I can't believe it.
And you know what it is?
Yeah.
Even that, right? That comes from feeling like you've lost ground.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's a perception.
It is.
Right? Because you can light other candles without dimming your light, for example.
Always.
You can give in a place where it doesn't diminish you, but you have to be cognizant of like what you're giving. Yeah. Right? And if you have it to really give and to release it and to let it go.
Yeah. Right? Release and let it go for sure. So let's engineer some scenarios
here. Go for it. Let's do it.
So alhamdulillah, like I'm very grateful that my family's moved here to Atlanta. We grew up mostly in Florida. Mom sold her house recently. Yeah, she lives just right around the corner.
It's so nice to see Ashley the other day. I was like, I know.
It's amazing. It's really amazing. Yeah. They call us the Twin Towers because we're just like both. She's 5'11". I'm about 6'1", 6'2". So we're both just like,
when you guys have your curly hair out, like sometimes I have to do a double take. Mashallah, both of you guys are
really
gorgeous.
What is it? 8 years her junior. So like, I love that people mistake us for twins and she hates it. But I'm like, girl, don't hate on a good skin now. Yeah. You know, you got it too.
Yeah.
But okay. So reverse engineer.
Okay.
My mom, right? She's around the corner. Somali mom, wants to cook, cut fruit for you. Yes. So adorable. Make Somali shah for you.
Yes.
I also lead a pretty busy life, you know, and have lived independent of hers for a very long time.
A long time, yeah.
Almost equally the amount of time that I've lived with her.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
At this point, right? So how would you say mom wants you to come to the house 2-3 times a week to hang out?
Are you asking me? I'd be like, come on, mom. You want to make me some shy? You're like, let's do
You do not. Okay, no, I can't do that. Kidding. I have stuff to do. I have stuff to do, right?
So let me ask you this.
I get home pretty late.
Right?
Yeah.
So like everybody's answer is going to be different. If you're listening, like this might apply to you. But like when you hear that inherently, that doesn't sound terrible. Your mom wants to provide
you. It doesn't sound
terrible. But what is the conflict? Where's the point of contention of the, like, what are the two opposing beliefs here? Like, in theory, it sounds nice for her to come multiple times a week, but what's the issue with that for you?
It sounds like, sometimes I think my mom is expecting me to just come over all the time, right? Or she needs me to take care of things. She's not explicitly stating a need or a run over there, right?
Yeah.
But she wants to spend a large amount of time with me that I cannot provide for her.
Okay.
Yes.
So when she does, when she asks you of that and you can't provide it,
I don't like saying no to my mother.
It feels icky.
Really
she's
icky.
Putting
like,
you in a tough spot.
Why wouldn't I want to hang out with her, right?
Yeah.
So it's a tough point for me. It's a tough spot for me to say, no, mom, I don't want to hang out right now.
Yeah.
Like how dare I? Like,
to even fix your lips.
I've been in
like
the womb for 10 months.
How
you know,
could you,
like
it's hard.
She's reared me and taken care of me my entire life.
And she wants to love on you. How can
me.
You really tell her no?
And all she wants to do, wallahi, I swear, is like
to feed me and smile and just be around.
Yeah. And just be around and joke and have a good time.
SubhanAllah. Yeah. So I think it's not that you don't want to spend time with your mom. I think we've gathered that.
Yeah.
And it's not that you, it's not that it's a problem that, you know, you are spending time with her either. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of like how to do it. So it sounds like it's about like notice and about scheduling perhaps.
Yeah.
Right. And just maybe mentally preparing yourself to be in that space so you can be present.
Yeah.
So what I would ask you then is, how are you able to hang out with your mom in a way that is conducive? If that doesn't work, what's the alternative where those two beliefs, spending time with your mom and having your own free time, like overlap?
Yeah. So when I'm thinking about how you constructed that A plus B plus C, I'd maybe say something around and you let me know like, hey, mom, a love that you want to spend time. Ooh, I really want to spend time as well with you.
Yes.
But it doesn't work for me this week. How does Saturday for breakfast work?
Yeah.
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 So it's like the A is acknowledging the effort that she's putting in.
Yes.
And receiving it as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I find that when you're going to let someone down,
yeah,
like holding space and validating that what they want and what they need is valid, even if you inherently disagree.
Yes.
Right? Like, as long as it's not like disrespectful.
Yeah.
Right? If they say like, Farah, like, I want to spend the night at your house every night. Like,
yeah.
If you say like, that's fucking weird, like you're gonna get a fight.
That would have been swinging, I mean, right? Early 90s
aside from your mom, right? Even to anybody else. Yes. Right, it's gonna sound like, oh, you're trying to fight.
Yeah.
Now I have to defend myself because I've lost ground.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Versus if you say, hey, I totally respect that, like, I understand that you do that because you care for me, you want to spend your time with me because you love me, and I appreciate that, that's valuable.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, then we've already started like, okay, like, cool, there's respect in this space.
Yeah,
right.
Ooh,
I feel seen. Right? And then...
What does Oprah say? Tweetable moments.
Tweetable moments. Right? And then you say, you know... And then you don't say but. Like, I find, like, because if you do but,
conjecture? What is the conjunction?
You know, you it's like, I understand that you want to do this, and I appreciate that.
And.
Something that's important for me, and you talk about yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you counter with what you think about what they value, mm-hmm. you're still giving a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're pretty for a black girl.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, no, but I said you're pretty. Why are you getting upset?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a whole nother thing. Don't fucking do that.
Another
but still, right?
Yeah.
But if I say, you know, I appreciate the fact that you want to spend time with me, and uh-huh. I understand that that's valuable to you. Something that's important for me is having notice.
Yeah.
And people can always empathize when you're talking about your own gaps. And what I say is like, I'm a person who likes to sleep, and you got to give me a couple of days. Otherwise, I will take every opportunity.
So had my mom said, hey, Farah, like, it's Monday, I'm off on Sunday, how about you come over for breakfast?
It would have been a whole other ballgame.
Totally different.
Because you can plan
penciled her
for
in.
It.
I could have planned it. I could have canceled other plans. You know, move things around.
Yeah.
But often, you know, she's thinking like that day, like, hey, I want to hang out with you. What are you doing?
Yes.
I was like, I've wrapped my mind around getting Chick-fil-A and sitting at the house.
Okay.
You
and
know?
It's a vibe now.
Yeah,
we've committed
vibe.
It. Yeah.
I've committed to this.
Yes.
You know?
And so what I think with my parents especially is I try to over-index on whatever personal stuff I have with me that makes me function this way. So I would say something to the effect of, you know, I struggle with being on time, and I'm super busy, and it's always helpful if I know what I'm doing a few days in advance. Help me help myself.
Oh my god,
give me a couple
man,
of days
now
right?
You're giving me your skills of like how you talk to me.
Now you're like, this bitch.
Yes. I'm like, what? Don't therapize me
right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's out of love.
It is, I
right?
feel that.
And so I find that it just works so much better when you do that. And it's don't like I try my best not to over embellish or lie or misrepresent what I need.
Mm.
I just try to be super honest, because if I'm saying, hey, this is like a shortcoming or something I'm just not good at, or I just haven't mastered yet.
Yeah.
Can you help me by giving me this grace? People are so much more responsive to that than you need this, but that's weird or I don't think that that's important because I think this is important. Now it's like where it's a power struggle between opinions and value systems, which you're never going to win with somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
But if I say like, you know, can you give me a couple of days notice? That'll help me. You know, even if they say like, oh yeah, sure. Generally, I've never had someone be like, no, we're not doing that. People will be like, oh, I understand now.
Uh-huh.
Sure. And then they might forget. But then when you remind them and you say, hey, like, I can't do it today. Remember I said that I need it? They'd be like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. They're helping out their friend or a loved one. And I find that then if after you share what you need and you go back to, so this is the compromise where both of our values can have equal ground and equal play. Right. Like, can I visit you every Sunday and we agree on the on those mornings? It's just me and mom time.
Yeah.
Now she's like, Farah, why didn't you say this earlier?
I want to
have mommy mornings.
Yes,
every, you know what I mean? Like, and then even to other people, when she'll hear you talking to Asla, Asla's like, oh, let's do Sunday. Like, nope, that's mom.
That's
now she feels
time.
Respected.
Yeah.
Like, this is the time
Our
I do
time.
With my mom. That's just
that's
one variation.
Really,
but
good.
I find that people are so responsive to that.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, paradise
so well.
Is at the feet of your mother.
Absolutely.
You know, and so you want to be respectful to all human beings, but
of
especially
course,
your mother,
of
right?
Of course.
So let's do this. This may be a little tougher.
Okay.
Let's say you have a friend who is, you could tell is going through something,
yes.
but they're not bringing you along the journey.
And telling
right?
you, like,
and
yeah.
telling you, but you can tell they're going through something, yeah. right? How do you show up for them in that way?
Yeah.
And do you express it to them? Do you just give them space?
So where is this becoming an issue for you? It depends.
You're just wondering, like, hey, I know there's something wrong with my friend. I may not be their person, but how do I show them that I'm here for them in case they need me?
Yeah.
Right?
That's a really
how
good.
How do I not over show up? How do I tell them I want to be brought along the journey?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they don't want to burden you with kind of what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
That's happened to me a few times.
Yeah. I've had that happen to friends too, where they just process differently.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
And I think, so then it goes back to like the A plus B plus C. What's the point of tension? You want to be there for their friend, but it sounds like you don't want to overstep and add
totally.
To the chaos. Right?
Yes, definitely.
So then I think you say just that, right? Mm-hmm. Going back to like our equation. I really love that you put that equation there. Like that's so simple to understand.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, hey, you know, and in this scenario, because they haven't outwardly said something, mm-hmm. I would start with what you value about them so that they know where you're coming from.
Ooh, okay.
Right? Because if you'd be like, okay, I want to make sure you get the help you need, it's going to be like, bitch, who said something was wrong with
me?
I've been cursing a lot. I'm going to work
on
it. Some of these times, these conversations get spicy, right?
Yeah, they do.
And so I would say, you know, hey, like, I know you to be bubbly and loving and energetic. And the last couple of times that we've talked, I haven't gotten like the normal futter. Like, it's important to me in our friendship that I'm supportive of you. But, and then this is the part where you like acknowledge like what you don't want to do.
For space,
but I want to make sure that I'm not imposing and that my need to know what's going on doesn't impede on your ability to heal properly.
Can y'all write that down? Y'all need to write this down.
Right? Like, I want to make sure you have space to process. I don't want you to feel like I'm telling you what to do. I just really want to know. I want you to know that I'm here for you if you need it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I can do to support you? Like, you don't have to tell me your business.
Wow.
Like, what can I do to show you that I'm here?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like, and then maybe even offer some ideas. I would stop there personally to say like, is there anything that I can do? And then based off of what they say, they might be like, girl, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right? I would go back to the beginning.
Anytime you, I think we're so intuitive. Like, you're going to bet on yourself and your gut, you know? And like, and measure this because sometimes there's instinct, but then there's other things
going on.
The opposite of anxiety,
right? Yeah.
And so sometimes when we kind of lose or not, we're not in touch with our intuition, we can lean into our anxiety,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So you want to like measure that.
Yeah,
like, where is this coming
especially
from?
If you know this friend, right?
Yeah.
And you can kind of have a baseline.
But anytime where I've like intuitively been like, there's something wrong.
You're
right.
Right.
I'm right. Yeah.
Women are, especially the eldest, like, I think we're conditioned to picking up on the signs.
Everybody.
Yep.
I know what's going on.
Hey, wait, you flipped your hair differently today.
Yes.
What's this about?
Yes.
Usually you use three fingers. Today is two.
Totally.
What's up? Let's talk. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, you just want to support your friends, but you don't want to overstep.
Yeah.
So that's always a tough one.
And I've always found that, like, people really respond like, oh, my God, you noticed.
Yeah.
You noticed. Without being like, you've been, like, a terror lately.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you noticed I feel seen. And mm-hmm. I feel safe to not even, like, if I don't feel comfortable talking about it, I feel at least safe to ask for what I need.
Yeah.
Right? Or to know that you care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I always try to like leave it there. They may say like, oh, nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
And they may not be ready. And I always say like, if I died tomorrow, my friend knew that I loved her.
Ooh.
And she knew that I checked in with her and that, you know, and there's been times where, you know, like my line sister passed away. And one of the last text messages we had was like a super open, loving one, like, I love you. And da da da. And, you know, just being there for her, you know. And so I appreciate always being transparent about where I felt in that moment, even if it looks kind of corny. Like, I love you. I want you to know that I care for you. If you need anything, I'm here. Because you never know.
That's
you know
it.
What I mean?
And so, you know, I've always had the trouble, and me and my line sister Veronica always talk about this. Like, we went to UF. I didn't grow up, like, being very huggy and I love you, right?
Yes.
And I think a lot of people can talk about that. But your parents and your family members showed love in
other different
exceptional
ways,
right? And I remember going to the University of Florida and everyone ended with like giving a hug to someone and being
okay,
like,
bye,
I love
girl.
You. Love you. And I was like, what? How are you going to say I love you? And I carried that don't say these arbitrary I love yous to anyone, right?
Yeah.
And then I was just like, wow, I'm going into my 30s thinking like you're hindering yourself from experiencing love because you can't even say the darn like phrase, you know? And so I started in being more open with the idea of like love is in abundance and just say it. Like no one has to earn it or reach a capacity for you to be like, I love
you. And
you
don't have
period.
A shortage of love to give.
There's no shortage, right? There's love like That's in every single space that I occupy. I want to be giving exude love, and I want people love, to know that they're loved by me.
Yeah,
specifically, right?
I love that.
Yeah, and so let's. Here's another scenario, right?
Okay.
Maybe this will be our last one.
Okay.
I'm coming off the dome here.
Okay,
this
go for
is
it.
Not a space that I occupy, but you are someone who's married, right?
Okay.
But we're all in like different types of relationships,
of course, absolutely,
getting to know
all the
people
time
or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's say with your spouse, your partner.
Okay.
You are not getting a something that you really require or need met.
Ooh.
How do you request that from a partner, and especially a male partner, if you think about it, maybe being a little more sensitive, wants to provide for you, not showing up in the way that you want?
Yeah.
How do you tell them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it depends on, like, if you're asking me now that I've had some practice, or
yeah, practice,
like when I was a terror.
Practice if not.
So what I would say is, So in this scenario, have you asked before if your needs have been met, or is it just like something that's just like occurred to you?
I think let's do both scenarios very quickly if we have time.
Yeah, I would say one.
Let's say first time.
Yeah, let's say one. It's the first time. If I'm asking for somebody else to do something, I start with how much I appreciate them. And how
this is your spouse, not someone.
Yeah.
You would do it the same way.
Yeah. So with Fred.
Okay.
So with Fred, I try my best to not start off with like, can you do this? Like, because it always sounds like nagging.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll either warm up the conversation and make sure, like, if I know I'm going to bring it up like later tonight, I'll try to like drop as many thank yous. They say statistically for every one criticism, you have to, in order to cancel that out in terms of how the other person will feel in the relationships, you have to have 5 compliments.
Mm,
right.
Wow.
So I try to start like baking
five
my
one.
5 for 1. Right. So if I say I love you 5 times and I say something critical of you once, mm-hmm, you're going to remember that, and it's just going to be balanced. It's not going to be one for the versus the other, at least how I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will try to like make sure that leading up to the conversation, I'm doing my part to create an environment where he's going to be open. And
okay,
Fred is also super laid back until alhamdulillah.
So
I lucked out, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
But I would do that. Then the next thing is when I start the conversation is like, hey, I really appreciate that you're somebody that I can come to about X, Y, and Z. And
what,
like, can I share with you? And let me tell you why.
What's the can I share with you?
Can
this
I
is
share
all
with you? So let me tell you what I used to do.
Yeah.
So
the terror.
Terror. Okay. Seriously. I would just barge in and then like to his room or something, like he has like an office, like, you know,
uh-huh,
he's studying whatever, and I would just be like and I would just like emotional word vomit.
Yeah.
And you don't know where people are at. And sometimes I wouldn't get the response that I wanted from Fred because I did not ask him if he was in a space to create space and hold space for me. Like, he might have a deadline in 10 minutes and now he's like can't even focus because he knows I'm pissed. And now he's like, oh damn, now I have this shit to worry about, blah, 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 blah. So I've tried to always like, you know, hey, I wanted to share something with you. Like, are you in a space to listen?
Wow.
Right? That's gone so far. And then
how
he does
often
that with me.
Has he said yes?
Always.
100% of the time.
Well, no. If he's actually busy, like he's always, he'll say like, you know, I got something I have to do right now, or I'm in the middle of something, or like sometimes like he literally has to work, especially
work
now in COVID, right?
Yeah.
And so he'll be like, I have to do this. Like, can we, but we always set a date and a time. Like, can we talk about this tomorrow? And sometimes it's like, it can't wait till tomorrow. Like, I'm emotionally, I really need you right now.
Yeah.
But when I verbalize that and explain to him, this is important.
Yeah.
He's equipped with what he needs to be able to find other time throughout the
day.
He's like, okay, though, this is important. Okay, let me see what else I can move around my schedule.
Yeah.
Right? But even then, I already feel prioritized and like in a safe space. But if I don't tell him it's important and he's like, oh, can we just hang out tomorrow? Then I feel maybe cast aside.
Yeah,
but he doesn't know.
But you
he
have
doesn't
not expressed
know.
That.
I have not expressed myself.
Yeah.
That's my, I've made that mistake.
My therapist has said this. She was like, even with, she was speaking about herself. She was like, even with my own husband, I've had to express my needs over and over and over again. Like, so if you don't feel like you have to express yourself and people are just going to anticipate your
that's
need,
never
it's
gonna
never going to happen.
Ever.
So if you
like,
need something, like, express that.
Yeah. So
I really want y'all to know that it has to be with someone that you have aligned values with. Like, you can't do this with somebody when there's a complete misalignment. I had to make that disclaimer.
No, you have to.
You're in a loving, beautiful relationship, mashallah, right? With a partner who values you and wants to make you happy in a way, right?
And there's definitely relationships where like coworkers.
Yeah.
Like, who there's coworkers who I have like really deep relationships with and like friendships and trust. Like, we've been through the trenches.
Yeah.
And I can say like, hey, like, I need to talk to you. Like, can you make some time for me?
And they're going to hold space
And they're going to hold space. And there's some people where I take it to God and I'm a gonna let him handle it, because if I handle it, I'm gonna be in jail. Yes, okay, exactly. And I know I have to just walk away.
Yes.
Your disclaimer is spot on.
Yes.
So then the next thing I would do is, he says yes, right? We're sitting face to face, and I'd say, you know, I'd start with what's important to me.
Oh, okay.
Right. Like, let's say I want him to take the trash out.
Yeah.
A mistake I used to make all the time is like, there's been three occasions this week where you've failed to take the trash out.
Yes.
That's very different than starting off with, I really want to make sure that we have a clean house. It's something I value. Wow. What a clean house looks like to me is that the trash is taken out before odor is emitted. And I wouldn't say it just like that, but I'm being like dramatic in the sense of
is that not a hard task for you though? Is it not like, oh my God, I have to say it like this? You know, is that not?
No, you know why? You know why? Because there's people who I love tremendously.
Yeah.
Who've come and told me like, Heffa, I done tried to tell your ass 5 times and you're not listening. And I'm like, what? Wait, no.
Yeah.
I missed it. Give it to me again. Hell, sometimes I tell you and you're like, if you ask me, say it again one more time, I'm going to smack you.
Often I will be like, say it again.
Wait, what?
What? And it's so funny because one time we were being recorded, right? We were recording ourselves.
Yes.
And it wasn't until I heard myself back that I realized that I was like, I wasn't even saying the words you were saying. And that's why you kept saying, say it again. I was fascinated by that because the way I was formulating my words, it wasn't making sense.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get it when we heard the playback.
You're like, oh, I thought I said something different.
I thought I said this. And you're like, that's why I kept saying, say it again as to give and make space for you to kind of say it so I could make sense of it.
Yep. And so,
and I was very tired and I had not eaten. Okay?
Yes, that adds to the communication breakdowns for sure. And so I think because I know, as much as I try to hold space for people, I still let people that I love down.
Of course. Right? That's normal.
And I don't do it. Like, someone who you love letting you down or failing to hold space or failing to meet your needs is not a measure of how much they love you. Like, I think about the people who love you the most are the most equipped to destroying you and breaking your heart in a million pieces, right? And that's not a measure of how much they love you.
Come on, y'all. Right? That's a big one.
And
there.
That's hard.
Because you have to know that the people that you love and hold very dearly will disappoint you. Yeah. They're not going to always get it right.
You know what? And it took me dropping the ball for somebody else to realize like it doesn't matter, like it's not a reflection of their love. Like, wow. I had a line sister who I was very, very, very close, still am very close to, and at the time she really needed me for something, but I didn't know exactly like how important it was. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I was super tired and I needed to drive back to our campus, which was like 2.5 hours at the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have it in me. It was a rough day at work and like things went left, and I told her, I was like, hey, you know, I'm so sorry, like I can't be there. You know, is it okay if I come tomorrow? She's like, no, da 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 da. But then she told me later, after she had some time to process, like a day or two, she's like, I was devastated because you're always the one person I can count on. Oh. And even you weren't there. And what you didn't know is 5 other people before you had also canceled.
No.
Yeah. And I cried. Oh, I cried. Yeah. I was
you
so
just don't
hurt.
Because
I didn't mean to hurt her. And like hearing her cry, like I'm just tearing up thinking about it. Hearing her cry, I was like, I cannot believe I did this to someone I care so much about unintentionally. And then it was at that point that I realized it doesn't matter how much you love them, you're still capable of destroying someone. You have to be careful. And so when I realized, like, even carefully, like calling her in advance to tell her, I realized, like, and she wasn't like, oh, you have to be here. She's like, I understand, but it still hurt. I still felt let down.
Yeah.
And both of our experiences could be existing at the same time. And so once I knew what I was capable of, I couldn't help but like giving more people grace when they let me down. Cause I knew they could do everything that they could. And sometimes shit just happens.
Still let you down. Yeah. Yeah. And no one means to do that to people, to the majority of people in your life. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're just not going to always get it right. But we hope that I think communication is key. I think we kind of pinned that as the title for the episode.
I think it's going to be the episode name.
It's going to be the episode name, right? Because, you know, we just hope that we can figure out ways of connecting with people, holding space for people, communicating your needs, and also expressing sometimes, like, I can't do this for you right now, but doing it in a very caring and compassionate way and loving way. And you're not going to always get it right, but it's par for the course, right? And building and maintaining relationships with people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so I feel like when I follow those steps with Fred, I think I usually get like a really great response from him, and I've been really grateful that's worked out that way.
That's big.
Yeah, and I'm still learning how to be like a better partner to him. And I realized that as much work as I feel like I've done, he would still give you a laundry list of things that I still have areas to grow on. And that always humbles me, like, okay, let me keep giving him grace because I'm not a perfect
relationships
either.
Are a mirror to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been really rewarding.
Good. Yeah, that's amazing. Well, Afnan, we definitely thank you for your therapizing us today. Mashallah. Again, she's not a licensed professional.
Not at all. I've just gotten a lot of things wrong, guys. That's it. I've tried a lot of things.
That's life, though, right? Yeah. Like and I think you would be in the wrong place had you had these life experiences and not grown from them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think by deciding to make room for your own growth and others' growth, like, you're going to be a better person at the end of the day.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, definitely. Right?
But yeah.
And I always say I'm not the same person I was yesterday.
No, not
right?
at all. Yep.
So we're always growing and, you know,
shout
rooted.
Out to us.
We rooted.
Rooted black girls. But thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. Definitely jump in the conversation. Let us know. YouTube, Instagram, follow us, rate, review, comment, share, all of the things, guys. We appreciate you. Until next time.
Peace.